Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Just to remind you, this is the 13th in a series of approximately 100 different teachings that we wanted to go through on the fundamental principles of Christ. And this is going to be, about six or seven, I'm guessing, five, six, or seven, something like that, teachings in regarding this one subject. And we'll call this the Alpha and the Omega. This is a comment that God makes in Revelation chapter 1, and it says in verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. These are the beginning and ending letters of the Greek alphabet. Alpha is the beginning and Omega is the last one. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So God says two things. I am the Alpha and the Omega, but he's really saying three things. Who is, who was, and who is to come. So that might be kind of confusing to us, but it does say, remember, we started off that God's ways are higher than our ways. He told us to let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. So God is the ultimate teacher here. And even though it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, he is really saying three things, who is, who was, and who is to come. Now, on a prior teaching, we had gone back into Acts 17 and learned 18 things that everybody must know about God. And number one is that he is the creator. And then there's another one of the 18 that said he is not far from each one of us. He is a near God. He is not far away. And we're going to liken this to a baby learning how to walk. And now God is going to be like a parent. He's a nursing father, remember? That's what Amen says. And he's not going to help us walk every step of the way. He is going to expect us to do our part. So God is going to do something for us. He's the Alpha, and he's going to provide the sacrifice. But he's also the Omega. And the fun part to me about this whole thing is God just doesn't save us and then say, well, I'll see you at the finish line. Toodaloo, bye for now. And you're left in the middle to walk 30 years or whatever. That doesn't work that way with God. There is a man early on in Genesis, the seventh man from Adam, the seventh in the lineage of Adam. His name was Enoch. Now, Enoch, it is spoken of him, he walked with God 300 years, and then God took him. So this is a walk in God, but God will expect us to do certain things. Now in Matthew 7, it says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father who is in heaven. So there is, God will do something, and then he will expect us to do something. And I think it's not too differently than when we were growing up in our parents' houses. They would give us something to do. Terrible twos came along. I don't remember too much before maybe two, three, or four. I can't remember where I started thinking. Now, some people think that they can remember their birth from the womb, and I Well, I won't go into that, but I happen to know a person that says that they could do that. And I'm going, that's the only person I've ever heard tell me that one. But somewhere around maybe three-ish, two-ish, three-ish, four-ish, somewhere in there, we start remembering things about our youth and our childhood. I do remember, raising kids that you remember the terrible twos, and I don't remember those too bad, so I don't know that I was really aware in my twos. My threes and fours, I remember making a mistake. I think I was about 4 years old, and I said, Mom, teach me how to wash dishes. Oh, fatal mistake. And so she makes this little box, wooden box, and sets it up on the sink next to her. And I find myself drying first and then washing and so on. And of course, your parents expect you to get better and better as time goes on. I'm going to tell one on me on this one. So both of my parents worked, and we grew up in the 50s and 60s. And my parents were kind of old world, and they expected us as children to, since they both worked, to have things ready when they came home. And we did the dishes. My parents did not do the dishes. So one time I got lazy, and my mom goes to the cupboard and found two plates glued together with the soap. I mean, it wasn't a terrible amount, but it was way too much soap left on there. And the plates kind of stuck together. And so my mother had this idea in her mind. She was going to show me not to do that one again. So she emptied all the cupboards, and I washed every dish in the place. Let me tell you something. I never did that one again. I'm very conscious of getting the soap off, or pretty conscious, I would say. So my mother expected me to get better and better. My dad probably was over on the couch just laughing his head off, but I look back on it, and I'm so glad that they did things like that to us. They didn't baby us, and we learned to be more responsible that way. So I do at least know how to wash dishes to this day. But anyway, God will do something, and then he's the Alpha, and Alpha also means that he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author, so he's going to start everything. All good things come from God. He's going to start our salvation. He's going to finish it, and the wonderful thing about it is I believe he'll be with us every step along the way, but maybe there will be a time when you feel like you're a bit distant from God, and it could be because you, my friend, might need to make another step. So we're going to look at God being the Alpha and the Omega. Now, one thing that God had to do because of our sin, the wages of sin is death. Some old minister used to say the wages of gin is breath. But anyway, the way the Bible says it is the wages of sin is death. And so somebody had to die for all of our sins. So the first thing that God did is he provides the sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, it was called the atonement. Now, a person could take a lamb. He might have 5 or 10 lambs that actually fit the description. It had to be a lamb of the first year without spot or blemish. And he might have 5 of them. Well, then he got to choose which one of those 5 that he would offer to God for that offering, for his sins. In the Old Testament, it is the atonement. But in the New Testament, and he had to keep doing it every year. Now, in the New Testament, or year by year, or when the sin was committed, they had to provide an animal sacrifice for their sins. Now, in the New Testament, it is a different word. It is the word propitiation. That's a new word, propitiation. Well, let me explain it to you. Propitiation is the means by which God shows mercy to sinners. Now, let's even look at the word mercy. Mercy, well, it's the Greek word hileos. And do we know of a word in the English that is hileos? Well, how about hilarity? when God shows mercy, remember, laughter is like a medicine. You can start laughing. When you are done with sin and you've learned your lesson, you, my friend, can have a big laugh along with God, not for the bad things that you've done, but the fact that God had mercy on you. And the mercy seat, the hileos seat. I wonder if you've heard that before. That's interesting, isn't it? When you get together with your friends, you like to laugh a lot. Did you know children? There was something I read that children, they say, laughed. I could be wrong. If I find my notes in some of my Revelation teachings and so on, I know I've got a newspaper article, and I think it said children laugh to the tune of about 500 times a day. Now, when you become an adult, what did they say, 15? I forget. It is a drastic change, but adults forget to laugh, and especially after the age of accountability and so on. A merry heart is like a medicine, so good laughter, if it's done right, is a very good remedy. And you, my friend, when you get your relationship right with God, you can have some good laughs with the Almighty God. But let Him set the stage for that one and make sure you've overcome the sin so that you can have that time with the Father. Well, mercy, hileos, means unmerited favor. And when you are forgiven everything you've ever done, you are going to have lots of joy in your life. Believe me, every sin, when your heart becomes circumcised, it says God will circumcise your heart. That's in Colossians 2. And we will definitely get into that scripture. That's a good one. The Old Testament circumcision was of the flesh, but the New Testament is of the foreskin of the heart. That's when we get a new heart and we get filled with the Holy Spirit. And God changes our heart to be His child and or a son of God, is what the scripture says. Now, I jumped ahead here quite a bit, but I was explaining mercy, the means by which, or pardon me, that's propitiation, the means by which God shows mercy to sinners. And mercy is unmerited favor. So propitiation is the means by which God shows unmerited favor, something you did not deserve, to the sinner. Now, in the propitiation in the New Testament versus the old, there would be five lambs that you could maybe choose from, or 10 or 20. Let's say you were rich and had a huge herd, and you had a bunch of them that were without blemish. And you had a big choice. But with the propitiation, God provides that sacrifice. Only one will do. It can only be the best. And it has to be the Son. If you can just stop back and think, who would give up their own child for the world to die for our place? And we deserve to die. And yet He gave His Son, who had no spot or no blemish. It is beyond our thoughts. We can't even imagine how merciful God is in us. And I'm not going to try to it, but I would sure think I need to appreciate it and think about it very often. So anyway, so here is the thing that Jesus does. He comes down to the earth. He takes on the form of sinful man. And we're going to read some scriptures here. And He does three things. He dies on the cross, He sheds His blood, and on the third day He was resurrected. So the thing that He does is threefold. When God gives His Son for us, it's not just the blood, it's not just the death, it's not just the resurrection, it is all three. So now I'm going to read some scriptures in the book of Hebrews. I'm reading Hebrews 9, 15 to 17. 11 through 22 is the context, but for sake of time, we'll do these three. For this reason, He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgression that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who makes it lives. And we've been over that in other discussions. So that is Hebrews 9:15 through 17. So now I'm going to read Hebrews 8:10 through 13. So here we go. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. So this is going to be the new covenant. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. When he said, anew, he has made the first obsolete, the first covenant obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. After Jesus' death came the New Testament. Through his death, he brought in the new covenant with us. Now I'm going to read Hebrews 10:16 through 18. And it says here, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. And I will also want to read verse 14 of 10. For by one offering, remember the propitiation is by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified or made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us for after saying. That was Hebrews 10:14 there. I want to read Hebrews 10:10 also. By this will we have been sanctified or made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It's not like the Old Testament where whenever you sinned, you had to offer a sheep or a goat. Or in some cases, for people that were poor, they could offer a turtle dove when the transgression was not serious, it appeared. But for us, the offering is once, and it is Jesus Christ, and it is for all. Now I'm going to read a scripture that it talks about all three. It talks about Christ's death, Christ's blood, and his resurrection. I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. We exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear this one. Let me start again. And not only this, but we also exult in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Didn't say he shed his blood. This is talking about his death. And in verse 6, he died. Well, let me keep reading and then I'll go back over these. But notice death also, not just the blood. Now the blood is there too. I'm not taking away from that. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So you see, three things have been mentioned in Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. In verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. In verse 8, Christ died for us. In verse 10, through the death, we are reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Now, I believe that's what saves the inner man of the heart. The blood, I believe, is for the soul or the mind. Now, there's actually a scripture that says that definitively, and we'll get into that. I won't leave you hanging on that one. You'll have to come back. It won't be the next teaching, but the next one after. And then we will be saved. Now, notice the tense here. We are now being saved by his blood. We were saved when we were enemies by the death, and we will be saved by his life. Now, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. You can interchange those two. So we will be saved by his life or his resurrection. Did you see that? God's the Alpha and the Omega, who is? We are now being saved by his blood. Who was? We were saved by his death. And who is to come? We will be saved by his life or by the resurrection. So it is my understanding of this scripture that God is providing salvation for the whole of man. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may your whole spirit. Now he starts at the middle of the cup. May your whole spirit, and it starts with the death here. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord. So by Christ's death, by his blood, and by his resurrection, our spirit is or was saved. By his blood, if a person is partaken of the death of the Lamb, the blood is now over the doorpost and lintels of your heart, my friend, and you are under the blood. And then you will be part of Christ's resurrection when he returns. So those are something we want to think about. Now, next time we get together, in the next, let's say it'd be number 14, we'll be talking about the death of Christ and going into that in more detail. And then the next one after that, which would be number 15, God willing, we will be going over the blood and how the blood now saves us. And it even takes away the consciousness of sin. It removes the memory of the sin. It goes way beyond what humans are capable of doing. And then number, let's see, 13, 14, 15, 16, I'm thinking we will get into the resurrection, how we're saved. Our flesh will be saved and we'll get a new flesh by Christ's life. And I guess that is the end of it for today. And I hope you've enjoyed this time with us. I've certainly enjoyed it myself. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.